Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Emmanuel is a strong and mighty tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Emmanuel is hope to the hopeless and strength to the weak and weary. Emmanuel means God is with us, because when Jesus was born of a virgin, God came down to live among mortal men and to bring life to those who are dead in their trespasses and sin. We pray that you will find hope and comfort as you listen today to the first portion of Pastor Ray Viola's Christmas Eve message from 2016.
One of the devil's most effective weapons against the followers of Jesus Christ is the fiery dart of discouragement. And that fiery dart may come in the form of finances, health, broken relationships. That fiery dart may be because of months or years or decades of supposed unanswered prayer for salvation, deliverance, employment. And for every pitfall or cause of pain or sorrow in our lives, Satan has an accompanied fiery dart that wants you and me to question the goodness of God, the love of God, the grace of God, and the promises of God. And ironically, this fiery dart of discouragement is never more prevalent than during the Christmas season when we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I look over this gathering tonight, I know many of you, and many of you are here this evening under the attack of the fiery dart of discouragement. And it is my prayer, and it's my desire, that the promise of Jesus, that he would be with you always, would minister to your heart. You know, the older that I get, and the longer that I walk with the Lord Jesus, I'm finding that the simple truths of Scripture are the most impacting and comforting in my life. And in this account of Matthew, of the birth of Christ, one of those precious truths is that Jesus, Yeshua, is Emmanuel, God with us. Think on that for a moment. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. So what does that mean? That means that he's with us when things are great. That means that he's with us when things are not so great. That means he's with us when we're healthy. That means he's with us when we're sick. Because his name is a strong and mighty tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. So when he was brought into this world, his name was Emmanuel, God with us. And you recall that one of the last words that Jesus told his disciples to share in all the world was found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. No human being can say to you or me, I am with you always. The miracle and marvel of Emmanuel, God with us, defies description. We sang it tonight. The hands of God that spoke solar systems into existence became those small, chubby hands of Jesus. Jesus is the heart of God wrapped in human flesh. And you and I who are in Christ, we follow the one who said in Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? You know, as you follow the account of the genealogy of Matthew, you find that one individual gives birth, you know, begat, and so on and so forth. But when you get to the birth of Jesus Christ, it does not say that Joseph begat Jesus. And that's because God was Christ's father, and Joseph was the foster father or stepfather. And in the account that we read that has been highly sterilized by commercial Christianity, Joseph is espoused to Mary. They're both young. What does it mean to be espoused? Well, an espoused couple was legally considered husband and wife, although the relationship would not be consummated until the marriage festival. And it was during this espousal period of time that Joseph would have been adding an addition to his father's house in anticipation of the time when his bride would come to him and they would live there. It's during this period of time that Mary is about 15 years of age and she finds herself pregnant. Now keep in mind, Joseph and Mary do not have a copy of Matthew chapter 1 in their back pocket. Imagine getting this news. Joseph, I'm pregnant. What would you think? You'd probably think, who's the guy? Right? Well, Mary says to Joseph, it wasn't a guy, it was God. Now, we've been reading this for 2,000 years. We don't flinch. You're Joseph.
Yeah, right.
And yet, as this story unfolds, this mystery of the incarnation, we see that Joseph and Mary, I believe, dealt with what I want to share with you at the end of the study tonight, probably the fiery dart of discouragement that is not heard about much in Scripture. There probably was not a day in their life where they were not ridiculed or mocked or put down over this whole event, this God event. We read here that the child in Mary's womb was born of the Holy Ghost, and that it was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy before the angel told Joseph how everything really happened. According to Jewish law, betrothal involved a formal binding contract before witnesses. But those that were betrothed would abstain from sexual relations, and the woman, as I said earlier, would remain at her father's house until the actual wedding ceremony. The betrothed referenced each other as husband and wife, and the covenant could be terminated only by death or by a formal writing of a decree of divorce. And Joseph, before the angel comes to him, intended to divorce Mary as the law allowed in the case of infidelity, for which she could have been stoned. And thus Joseph's assumption that Mary had been unfaithful was not far-fetched. But the angel came to him and says, "Fear not, Joseph, thou son of David, to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." What joy must have filled Joseph's heart, Mary's heart, to think it was the dream, the prayer of every Jewish woman to be the vessel through whom the Messiah would come. Mary's that vessel. And they're to call their son's name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Yahashua, which means the Lord is salvation. In fact, that's a very common name for Jewish boys today. I've been to Israel a few times, and you're walking down the main streets, and from time to time you'll hear, "Yeshua, Yeshua." Now, they're thinking in the context of a little boy. I'm looking up. How wonderful. His name would be called Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me clarify something. Jesus is not his first name, nor is Christ his last name. You know, it's not Lord Jesus Christ like Smokey the Bear or something like that. Okay? Lord is his title. Jesus is his name. Christ is his office, and Christos is the Greek form that means the anointed one. So the anointed one is going to be born of Mary. Now in the Old Testament, three groups of people were anointed with oil: prophets, priests, and kings. Jesus is the prophet who came to declare the word. Jesus is our faithful high priest, and Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But note with me tonight why Christ came, and we've been covering that theme all December at our services here at Koinonia. What was the purpose of Christ coming? Our theme has been All Hail King Jesus, is that Christ would come to save his people from their sins. You see, the Christmas message is a message of redemption. That's the biblical message. How Christ came to redeem sinners. Christ came to save sinners. Praise God for that. The Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 8, you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is the Christmas message. It's a message of redemption. It's a message of deliverance. It's a message that hope has come. It's not about Santa Claus and reindeers and Rudolph and all of those other seasonal things. According to the Bible, this is a redemption message. In Christ's spotless life of obedience and his payment of the price for sin resulted in a complete and perfect and effectual salvation. That's the gift of God sent to mankind. Jesus didn't come to overthrow political powers or correct social injustices. Rather, he came to save sinners from the debt of sin in order that he, by the grace of God, would bring those who trust in him into a true relationship with his Father. And we learned that all this was done, that the scripture in Isaiah 7:14 would be fulfilled, that he would be born of a virgin. A virgin shall be with son, verse 23 tells us, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ is not some debatable doctrine. It's one of the pillars of the Christian faith. And who would be born? Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Now, think about that. Just don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Think of what that means. The virgin birth. Emmanuel came to be with us, not only to redeem us and then leave us on our own, but to be with us. The virgin birth is the miracle of Christmas. God was manifest in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God with us. Verse 24 and 25. Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. And he took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. They called his name Jesus. Pretty clear, according to the scriptures, that what we read in verse 24 and 25 refutes the false teaching that Mary was a virgin perpetually. In fact, the Catholic translation of verse 25 reads this: Joseph had no relations with Mary until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. Why do I say that? Because sometimes there are non-biblical traditions that creep into the biblical account of why Christ came. Joseph and Mary grew up and they had normal relationships with one another. And we know that at least two of the writers of the New Testament, James and Jude, were the offspring of Joseph and Mary. Mary was a wonderful example of being a servant of the living God. So the message that I want to drive home tonight is pretty simple, but I have a sense in talking to many of my colleagues, area pastors, of things going on in their congregations and having a lot of conversations with many of you. I have a sense that the message that I want to drive home tonight is going to minister to your hearts. It's into this world of darkness, despair, and hopelessness that Jesus Christ came. I think that's a pretty accurate description of the world that we see today. Darkness, despair, hopelessness. And it's into this world that the light has come, Jesus Christ. Emmanuel came into this dark world to bring us light, to bring us hope. He came primarily to deliver us from the debt of sin and to bring us into a relationship with the Father. But he knows that until we go home to be with him, he knows. He told the apostles. The apostles wrote about it. He knows that until we go to be with the Lord, that Satan is going to seek to hurl at every one of his sheep that fiery dart of discouragement. And to offset the attack of that enemy, God has left us in the birth of Christ and in his name a promise. Emmanuel. God will be with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I find tremendous comfort in that name and in that promise. You know, Scripture gives us numerous accounts of God when the people of God, no doubt, were going under the fiery dart of discouragement, difficult times and trials. Let me read you a few. The Lord was with Joseph when he was in prison and discouraged for no fault or sin of his own. The Lord was with David when he faced that giant Goliath in the valley of Elah, and when he was hiding, when he was pinned in a cave from the threats of Saul. He was with Elijah when he was feeling discouraged and defeated when wicked Jezebel was threatening to kill him. He was with Habakkuk when he was discouraged because he had lost everything and everyone dear to him because the land had come under the judgment of God. He was with Daniel in the lion's den after he chose to obey God and pray rather than submit to the unjust law of Babylon that forbid prayer. He was with the three Hebrew children when they were in the fiery furnace because they refused to bow the knee to the idolatrous golden statue of Nebuchadnezzar. He was with Paul in Corinth when he was discouraged because many were rejecting the very gospel that Jesus told him to go into the city and preach. He was with 90-year-old John when he was abandoned to the island of Patmos because they told him, bow your knee and claim Caesar as Lord. And he says, no way, I have one Lord and he is Jesus Christ. He was with the martyrs through the ages who refused to compromise their faith in Christ when they're threatened with death. He is with our precious brothers and sisters tonight who are being persecuted around the world because they are openly celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ and refuse to be intimidated by those who threaten to kill them. He is with some right now who have faithfully followed Jesus Christ for years during good times and bad times. And they are going to be bidding loved ones farewell and breathing their last breath before this service is over. He's with them. And I have good news. He's with you tonight. That's, you know what gospel means? Gospel means good news. Right? Gospel. Good news. You get that? Good news? Good news? World? Bad news. Gospel? Good news. Let's get it straight. World, bad news. Gospel, good news. World, bad. God, good. Gospel, good news. Emmanuel is going to be with you always. Remember what Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16? He says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Now you expect to hear, okay, here's the reason for be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He told Peter, after he said to Peter, you're going to deny me three times, but don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. Only God can make a statement like that. It says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Don't let your heart be troubled. And whenever your eyes are off of Jesus Christ, your heart is going to be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Trust in Christ. He's Emmanuel. Right here. Right now. Amen? Right here. Right now. Who is this Emmanuel that's with us tonight? He's the creator of Genesis. He's the Passover lamb of Exodus. He's the high priest of Leviticus. He's the water in the desert of Numbers. He's our eagle's wings of deliverance in Deuteronomy. He's the commander of the army of the Lord in Joshua. He is the Lord of peace in Judges. He is our redeemer in Ruth. He is the prophet, priest, and king in 1 Samuel. He is the rock of salvation in 2 Samuel. He's the builder of the temple that will never fail in 1 Kings. He is the reigning king in 2 Kings. He is the son of David that is coming to rule in 1 Chronicles. He is the king who reigns eternally in 2 Chronicles. He's the priest proclaiming freedom in the book of Ezra. He's the one who restores what is broken in Nehemiah. He is the protector of his people in Esther. He's the mediator between God and man in the book of Job. He's our song in the morning and then at night in the book of Psalms. He's our wisdom and strong tower in the book of Proverbs. He's our meaning of life in Ecclesiastes. He's the author of faithful love in the Song of Solomon. He's our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace in Isaiah. He's the weeping Messiah of Jeremiah. He assumes God's wrath for us in Lamentations. He's the son of man of Ezekiel. He's the son of God in the fiery furnace in the book of Daniel. He's the faithful husband even when we run away in Hosea. He's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit in Joel. He delivers justice to the oppressed in Amos. He's mighty to save in Obadiah. He's the great missionary in Jonah. He cast out our sin into the sea of forgetfulness in Micah. He proclaims future world peace in Nahum. He crushes injustice in Habakkuk. He's the warrior who saves in Zephaniah. He restores our worship in Haggai. He is the Lord and King over all the earth in Zechariah. He's the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings in Malachi. He's the Messiah who is King in Matthew. He is the Messiah who is a servant in Luke. He's the Messiah who is a deliverer. The Messiah who is a servant in Mark. He's the Messiah who is a deliverer in Luke. He's the Messiah who is a God in the flesh in the book of John. He's the Spirit who dwells in his people in Acts. The power of God into salvation in Romans. Our conqueror over death, our resurrection in 1 Corinthians. He's the down payment of what is to come in 2 Corinthians. He is our inheritance in Galatians. He's our peace at the right hand of the Father in Ephesians. He is the God that supplies all our needs in Philippians. He holds the supreme position in all things in Colossians. He's our comfort in the last days in 1 Thessalonians. He's our returning king in 2 Thessalonians. He's our crown of righteousness in 1 Timothy. He is Christ our helper in 2 Timothy. He's our hope in Titus. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother in Philemon. He's our great high priest in Hebrews. He's the great physician in James. He's our hope in times of suffering in 1 Peter. He's the restorer of all things in 2 Peter. He's our love and light in 1 John. He is Christ come in the flesh in 2 John. He is our prosperity, health, and peace in 3 John. He's the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints in Jude. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords in the book of Revelation. Yeah, amen. Now, can you see why I have a hard time getting excited about Santa Claus? Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you made any New Year's resolutions yet? Surveys say that most New Year's resolutions last less than 2 weeks. How does one achieve lasting personal improvement? God's Word tells us not to conform to the world around us. Instead, we are to allow His Word to transform us by changing our hearts and renewing our minds. Our goal is to behave as if we had the mind of Christ. We at Koinonia Fellowship would like to help you achieve lasting spiritual transformation. We invite you to join us in the coming year as we worship Jesus, study God's Word, and grow in Christ together.
Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning. Due to the holiday, there will be no service on Wednesday night. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.